Amen. It has taken me a while to understand or to wrap my mind around the fact that St. Thomas was not present with the other disciples when the Lord appeared to them in the upper room. I have spent at times an inordinate amount of energy wondering where he was and why he wasn't present. But of course, we also know that several disciples were on the road to Emmaus, finding what had transpired with our Lord altogether too much to take. Those disciples departed even upon hearing the good news that the Lord had been raised to new life. And so it does indeed make sense, or can at least be made sense of, that Thomas was not present. The fear, the sorrow, and the anguish of losing our Lord, and then to have that compounded by the confusion that he had indeed been raised to new life, something that he himself had foretold, and yet they did not fully understand, and it would take our Lord's 40 days with them to help them come to this deeper understanding. All of that was too much for him to handle. He may have been away in solitude. He himself may have even further sequestered himself for fear of the Jews coming after him, as the disciples themselves were as well. But he was not there. And as a result, he was not there to receive the manifestation of this peace, this abiding peace that Christ brings to us and first brings to his disciples. Peace be with you, he says to them twice. Not only to quell the fear or the anxiety or the sheer just mind-boggling nature of what it is they're experiencing, but then as he continues to also remind them that in this peace and in the revelation of the resurrection, they are receiving a further of their missioning. Yes, they had been sent out two by two. Yes, indeed, they themselves reported the success that they had in the name of the Lord. But if the name of our Savior was powerful before the resurrection, imagine how powerful that name is now. He breathes on them and gives them the Holy Spirit, that they may continue the mission that he himself continues, which is a mission that comes from the Father. And that mission specifically is bound up in this giving and receiving and offering to the world the treasure trove of the Lord's divine mercy. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. This, brothers and sisters, is not only about sin, but about the one who now has conquered sin and death once and for all. It's not only about the failings and the shortcomings of the human condition, but the one who has overcome all of those shortcomings, most especially the reality of death itself. And what he invites his disciples into is a sharing of the fullness of this mission, which is to bring us everlasting life in this life as we prepare for the life to come. Thomas misses not only this affirmation of those things that may have quelled his doubts and his fears, but also this commissioning and the reception of this new responsibility. Upon hearing this good news, the testimony of the disciples, it is not enough to push aside his doubts. Instead, he puts the Lord to the test. Unless I see the marks of his crucifixion, unless I'm able to touch them with my own hands, I'm going to persist in my unbelief. There may seem to be a certain hardness of heart, but it also is an expression of what it is that we must confront when we stand before the august mystery that is the resurrection. The human mind, brothers and sisters, simply cannot fathom what it is that God has done for us. And even now, some 2,000 years plus, we continue to go back to this great wellspring of mercy to contemplate yet again what it means to be men and women who are redeemed in the blood of the Lamb. We will never exhaust contemplating this and understanding it. So if Thomas doubles down and says, I simply cannot believe, even with your testimony, we can understand that. For at times we are the same. It is easier for us to persist in our weaknesses, in our failures, in our own sins, than it is to embrace the transformative grace of God and allow Him to truly make us new creations as He has done for us. And so the Lord, ever the master teacher, in that divine mercy that He offers to all of us, because of the profound and deep love that He has for us, He appears yet again to His disciples. And yet again, He bestows peace upon them. And then He allows Thomas to do the unthinkable, to touch the signs of our Lord's suffering. The Lord has suffered so much indignity and so much humiliation, not only assuming the human condition, but then suffering on the cross and the indignity of being put to death in the flesh. And yet again, He allows Thomas to touch Him in order that Thomas might believe. But the greatest indignity is the one that the Lord has remained and given to each of us, remaining captive in the most blessed sacrament and appearing to us under the humble signs of bread and wine, so that like Thomas, we can persist not in unbelief, but in believing itself. And as Thomas was blessed to touch our Lord, we are likewise blessed to receive Him as well. But as it was for Thomas, so it is for each of us. We must believe. We must cling to the Lord above any and all things. And we cannot allow any doubt, any fear, any confusion, any trepidation to stand in the way of the Lord who desires to come to us. The Lord who breaks down walls, the Lord who walks through walls and closed and locked doors, the Lord who broke the chains of sin and death, wants to come and be with us, with you. We must open our hearts for the reception of this great gift, this great grace. But ever the lover of us as the Lord is, in His exhortation to Thomas to persist in believing, He then bestows blessing upon all of us. You believe, Thomas, because you have seen. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. The Lord knew of the difficulties we would have to confront. The Lord understood the difficulties that we would have to overcome. The Lord knew that there would be doubts, as there were for Thomas, that there would be things swirling around us that would pull us away from Him, and that even with the testimony of those who have gone before us, there would still be some who persist in unbelief. And of course, we know that all too well, not only in the world in which we find ourselves today. So many who have chosen to walk away from the practice of their faith despite the living testimony of their brothers and sisters, but the panoply of holy men and women who have gone before us in the 2,000 years plus preceding us. But we know this also in our own lives, how easy it is at times, brothers and sisters, to be knocked off course, how easy it is to give in to the doubts of the world, to, in a sense, cling to my own self-directedness, my own willfulness, my own understanding, instead of choosing to cling to God, even when it might seem irrational, unthinkable, inexplicable. But the things of God don't have to submit to human reason. Instead, they need to be embraced in faith. For in truth, you could live 1,000 lifetimes and never exhaust the wisdom of God or understand fully His divine providence. So don't waste your time. Instead, do the thing that God gives you the strength and the courage to do, and that is to cling to Him above all things, to hold fast to Him, especially in a world that has chosen to sow again and again doubt and confusion that leads only to despair and sorrow. For after all, this peace that the Lord brings to His disciples, He also then gives to each of us from this very altar of sacrifice. And so as we continue to contemplate the mysteries of the Lord's resurrection and the gift of new life that has been gained for us upon the cross, let us pray for an increase of faith in the world and in the church, especially among those charged with leadership in the church. But let us pray also for an increase of faith in our own lives, to choose God, to cling to God above everything else. And in so doing, brothers and sisters, to put aside doubt and fear and unbelief. Continue in the act of believing, and in so doing, live comfortably, both in this life and in the life to come, in the peace of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.